So before we begin the share, I have to make a correction on the very first word on the page. There is no word to the best of my knowledge called Iyum. It's supposed to be Iyun. So the name of the share, the name of the topic of the share is Iyun v'Iyuvivir Tfila Kana Brichas Torah. Some of you may be wondering what great controversial issue was involved in this. Not that much, but we'll see. Maybe it's an interesting shayla anyway. So actually the shayla came to me this week from a young girl, a barely teenager girl, who wanted to know the following. Before davening, so she likes to come, I guess, a few minutes earlier before davening starts. She likes to read a little bit some of the notes on the bottom of the siddur to familiarize herself with a little bit some of the themes, some of the nuances that perhaps enhance her davening a little bit. So the shayla was formulated as follows. It's a very long shayla. She wanted to know, can she kind of like browse through the comments on the bottom of the siddur before she technically formally starts to daven? Because usually davening starts with Birchas HaTorah. She hasn't said Birchas HaTorah yet. Should she, when she walks into the shul 5 minutes before davening, walks into school, whenever this is happening, just the first words out of her mouth be Birchas HaTorah? Or is it mutter for her to read the little notes on the bottom of the siddur without reciting Birchas HaTorah? Ashreichem Yisrael. These are the shailas that the young girls are asking. Baruch Hashem, Baruch Shechiyam Kimanu. So I thought we would turn this into a shiur a little bit, because there are a few different nuances of shailas, three different parts of the shailas that converge together. We want to try to answer the shayla properly. There are a lot of parts of the shayla. So the first question is, since the question was posed by a young lady, the question is, does the mitzvah of Birchas HaTorah even speak to women in the first place? Are women obligated to recite Birchas HaTorah in the morning? Are women supposed to be reciting? Are they permitted to recite it? So let's analyze that angle of the shayla first. What exactly the issue of Birchas HaTorah is relating to women? That may be the controversial part of the Shia, but we're not going to talk about the controversial part. And then the second component of the Shaila is this considered to be actual learning? What a person is doing, a person is just kind of looking quickly at some notes at the bottom of the Siddur, does that constitute an actual formal Talmud Torah to warrant the Birchas HaTorah or not? So we're going to break the Shaila down really into two parts. So the sugya begins in the first of the Ma'amar Kamos in Maseches Brachos, Nafchaf Aleph Amud Aleph, Minayin LeBirchas HaTorah L'Fanei Min HaTorah. What is the source for the whole institution of reciting Birchas HaTorah before learning? Where did this come from the Chumash itself? Well, the assumption of this question, the simple reading of the question is that Birchas HaTorah is a real din mid-da'araisa. We're just searching for a source for it. Hashanemar, Kishem Hashem Ekra Havu Goyda Lelokeinu. The Pasuk says that in the beginning of Pasha Ha'azinu, before Moshe Rabbeinu recites the Shem Hashem, here Chazal seems to be interpreting the Shem Hashem here, not literally the Shem Hashem, but actually the words of Torah, which is what he's about to recite. The reason why the Pasuk uses interchangeably the phrase Kishem Hashem and the Divrei Torah, based on the words of the Ramban and his introduction to Chumash, when the Ramban develops an entire Yesod, that the Shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the name of the Ribbono Shel Olam, are the words of the Torah. A name always describes the essence of a person. So the description in this world of Elokus, how do we relate to the Ribbono Shel Olam in this world? We talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu by the words of his Chokhmah, by the words of his Torah. That's why Chazal could learn out from Kishem Hashem Ekra, which although Shem literally means name, it could be referring to before I recall the Divrei Torah, Havu Godel Elokeinu. That's why the Ramban says in that introduction to Chumash, that's the reason why there's a letter missing from the Sefer Torah, why the entire Sefer Torah is possible. If you think about it, some of the letters don't really change the meaning. It doesn't really make a difference whether it's written this way or written that way. It's the same exact word, same meaning of the word. So why does it make a difference how it's written? So the Ramban explains, because the Divrei Torah, not just Divrei Torah, they're a description of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So if you get one iota off, so that's a whole different picture, a different description. So therefore, each and every word, each and every letter of the Sefer Torah is so critical. So the Gemara says that, how do you know that Birchas HaTorah is min HaTorah? Shenema kishem Hashem Ekra. So the simple reading of the Gemara is that it's mamash din min haTorah. Nevertheless, there are some Rishonim who take the Gemara a little bit less literal. Some Rishonim interpret the Gemara to mean derech hasmachta, but the Gemara doesn't mean it's a real din min haTorah. It's only a din min derabbanan, and the pasuk is just alluding to a din derabbanan, but it's not a real bona fide din deraisa. That's a question in Poskim: what exactly the status of Birchas HaTorah is? Is it a real din deraisa or not? But concerning Birchat Torah, particularly for women, so the Shulchan Aruch has a comment in the second of the Mamakomas, in Simin Mem Zayin, Nashim Mevarchas Birchat Torah, that women have the practice of reciting Birchat Torah. And the question is, do we understand that din or not understand that din? Is that Pashut or is that questionable? So the Bir Halacha, in the third of the Mamakomos, quotes from the Beis Yosef, who's a good place. If you want to know what the Shulchan Aruch held, a good place to look is the Beis Yosef, because that's what he wrote. The Beis Yosef first wrote the Beis Yosef, then the Shulchan Aruch was almost an afterthought. He wrote a long, long parish on the Torah called the Beis Yosef, and then he wanted to condense it. He realized the parish got too long, no one's going to read it, so he made a very, very shortened version. He called it the Shulchan Aruch, not the kid's Shulchan Aruch, the real Shulchan Aruch. The real Shulchan Aruch was supposed to be a shortened version of the Beis Yosef. He so considered it to be such a shortened version, such a Bekit HaNimrod, that the Shulchan Aruch writes that it's so short, I made it so easy for everybody, everyone should finish it once a month. You should chaz the whole Shulchan Aruch once a month. That's the Beis Yosef, that's the Shulchan Aruch part. We've been talking about the Ramon, the Taz, the Shach, the Shulchan Aruch, everyone should read once a month. Or Chaim, or Deh, Hashemish, whatever, that's once a month. So, you know, just to catch up, to make sure you're familiar with Halacha. Okay. Well, anyway, so comes the Halacha, and quotes from the Beis Yosef, Hanoshim, the third Mamakamit, Hatam, the Chayavos Lumar Adinim Shalem. Why is it that women have to recite Birchat Torah? So the premise of that question is that women are pturos from Talmud Torah, which is in fact what the Gemara says in Maseches Kedushin. So come to Beis Yosef and ask, if women are pturos from Talmud Torah, then why are they reciting Birchat Torah? So answers the Beis Yosef, because it's not true that women are totally pturos. They're pturos from good portions of Torah, but they are obligated to learn the part that's relevant for them, namely Hilchos Shabbos, Hilchos Kashrus, Hilchos Brachos, Taos Mishloach, all the parts of Torah that speak to women. Women are chayavos to learn. Since women are chayavos to learn those dinim, the mela they can recite a Birchat Torah on their share in Limud HaTorah. That's the first answer in the Beis Yosef. But the second answer, the chayavos lo mapashta kabbanos b'shchivas b'tfilah. Women are obligated to say kabbanos in the morning, just as they're obligated to daven in the morning. And kein koyah bracha alzeh. So that's what the Beis Yosef and the Magen Avraham suggest. That women have a real bona fide obligation to recite Birchat Torah. Because the premise of the question is not 100% correct. The premise of the question was, women are pturos entirely from Talmud Torah, and the answer is not quite. They're pturos in certain parts of Talmud Torah, but certain parts that they're obligated in, therefore it is acceptable for them to recite a bracha, and they should be reciting a bracha. Then the Bir Halacha makes a startling statement, L'fi zeh hatam, according to this reason, yechol lahotzi b'birchas haTorah es ha'ish. So then technically speaking, a woman can be motzi a man in birchas haTorah. Putting aside all other issues of tenuous and minhagim, they're just talking about the absolute pure, who's obligated, who's not obligated. So according to the reason that women are obligated in Birchas Torah, they could be motzi a man as well. But the Beir Halacha says, but the Vilna Gaon disagrees with this entire approach of the Beis Yosef. And the Vilna Gaon says, you want to know why women recite Birchas Torah? Even though women are exempt from Talmud Torah, it's a right for them to recite B'tzivanu. No different than other positive time-bound mitzvahs, such as lulav and sukkah, that women have the practice to volunteer and to recite brachas. The As we pass in la'alocha, that women can recite brachas. So what the Vilna Gaon is learning, a whole different shot in this din, the Vilna Gaon is learning that women, in fact, are not obligated in Birchas Torah because they're not obligated in Talmud Torah. But why does the Shulchan Aruch record the practice of women reciting the bracha? It's as a rishus. The same way they're volunteering to recite the bracha before they shake a lulav, they volunteer to recite Leisha B'sukkah when they sit in the sukkah, they can volunteer to recite Birchas Torah as well. And then, of course, the ramifications of this, the Beis Halacha continues, lefiz there, ein yichos lahotzi es ha'ish. Therefore, a woman would not be able to recite Birchas Torah on behalf of a man, the same way that a woman would not be able to recite Leisha B'sukkah on behalf of a man, because a woman is not obligated in the bracha. So we have two different approaches in the Gedolia Poskim. If the Beis Yosef, we're going to have Ram on the one hand, against the Vilna Gaon on the other hand, what is the source for our practice of women reciting Birchas Torah? Is it Petaras Chiyuv, or is it Petaras Rishus? If it's Petaras Chiyuv, then they're on equal footing with men. If it's Petaras Rishus, then clearly they would not be able to be motzi men. So going back to this case, the scenario of the young lady who wants to know, is she obligated to recite Birchas Torah before her reading of the little notes at the bottom of the Siddur? The question is, forget about reading the notes at the bottom of the Siddur, is she ever obligated to recite Birchas Torah? So that depends on this machloket. So if you take the approach, the women are not obligated anyway to recite Birchas Torah. She's going to say it a little. She'll say it 5 minutes later. She'll say it 20 minutes later. What's the big deal? She's not obligated anyway. Then there would obviously be nothing wrong with her reading the psukim beforehand. But if you take the approach of the others, the Beis of the Magen Avraham, that women are, in fact, obligated in Birchas Torah, then the shaila becomes a serious shaila for men. So then this is not a uniquely women shaila. This is a men shaila also. What would be the din of a man wants to read the notes in the bottom? Is that considered to be Talmud Torah for the purposes of warranting a Birchas Torah? Couldn't say anything that controversial. Yeah. Am I gone? Okay. So the next Maror Mochem is another Maror Mochem, so I can say that about Pei without having to see it in time. This discussion in the Beis Yosef, in the Magen Avraham, in the Gra, about whether women are obligated in Birchas Torah or not, are they obligated in Talmud Torah to some extent or not, this is assuming that Birchas Torah relates to the Chiyuv, to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Reb Chaim, in his Chiddushim, the Brisker Rav quotes from Reb Chaim, in his Chiddushim and the Rambam, Reb Chaim had a whole different understanding of this sugya. Reb Chaim explained that the recitation of Birchas Torah is not a function of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Recitation of Birchas Torah is a function of the Chefetz of Torah. Once a person is connected to the Chefetz of Torah, once a person is experiencing that entity called Talmud Torah, whether or not you're fulfilling a formal mitzvah or not is not relevant. It's just that Torah itself requires a bracha. Being involved in the act of Talmud Torah requires a bracha. Are you mechuyev in the mitzvah? Not mechuyev in the mitzvah. That's irrelevant, says Reb Chaim. That's why when it comes to Birchas Torah, women are equally chayavos as well as men are. So again, we're not sure whether women are chayavos or pteros. Let's err on the side of caution. Let's assume that women may very well be chayavos, according to some poskim. And we want to know, this woman wants to read the notes. Is that considered to be an act of Talmud Torah or not? So the Shemarach in the fourth of the Ma'amakamos, in the Siminar of Birchas Torah, Siminar Mem Zayin, Siv Dalet quotes, Hamahara b'divrei Torah eino tzorach levareich. If a person is merely thinking and learning, they're reviewing over shir in their heads, they're thinking of a divrei Torah, but the Shulchan Aruch says, there is no need to recite a bracha. This has nothing to do with men or women. The mitzvah of Birchas Torah, even for men, is not required to be recited if one is merely thinking in the words of Torah. So this statement of the Shulchan Aruch is very questionable. You take a look at the fifth of the Maror Mochemot, so the Mishnah Berurah gives you some of the ramifications of the statement, and then in the next of the Maror Mochemot is going to show you those who disagree with the statement. So the Mishnah Berurah in the fifth of the Maror Mochemot, Eino Tzorich, the reason is the Hiro Lav Kedibur Dami, just merely thinking about something is not the same as actually verbalizing, not the same as articulating. Ulefizeh, therefore, Yesh Li Zoh She'osan La'osan Halom Dem Bi'iyun Mitach HaSefer, says the Mishnah Berurah, this sheet of the Shulchan Aruch that's fundamentally a leniency, a kula, that you don't have to recite Birchas Torah in Hiror, can sometimes lead to a chumrah in the following case. The person gets up early in the morning, wants to go learn, so there's no question you have to recite Birchas Torah. He says the bracha, and then he opens up his Gemara and starts to learn Baba Basra. So says the Mishnah Berurah, if he doesn't start to articulate the words of Baba Basra right away, then he's in a little bit of a problem, because there's a big machlokes in Rishonim, when you recite Birchas Torah, must Birchas Torah be followed by words of Torah like any other Birchas Mitzvah? If a person says a bracha l'aniach tefillin and then doesn't put the tefillin on for another hour and a half, that's a bracha l'vatola. If a person makes a bracha l'shmo kol shofar and then takes a walk outside, that's a bracha l'vatola. If a person makes the bracha to Birchas Torah and doesn't learn right away, according to some Rishonim, that's a bracha levatola. Not everyone agrees to that, but some Rishonim say that that's a bracha levatola. And you would not have been yotzei the din of Birchas Torah. So the Mishnah Berurah says that if we would have held that thinking and learning is called Talmud Torah for the purposes of Birchas Torah, so then if a person wants to learn in the morning before davening, he should say Birchas Torah, finish Bracha Hashem Notzin Torah, and then start reading the third Pekah of Basra, start learning Yevamah, start learning whatever he's learning, and there's no need for him to articulate the words, because here would also be an acceptable form of Talmud Torah for these purposes. But since the Shulchan Aruch paskins that just thinking and learning does not constitute an act of Talmud Torah for these purposes, so therefore, according to the Shulchan Aruch, that would be a serious problem to be able to be able to turn that way. You would have to articulate the words. Unless the Mishnah Berurah concedes, what if you do like we do? For us, the Shaila is a moot Shaila. Because we always say Pesukim right after Perek Zot. We always say Brach Shem Shrach, we say El Devar, we say Mishnah, Pesukim. So we always, almost artificially, force ourselves to learn right after reciting Perek Zot. But that's a fairly new minute. I mean, fairly new, 1,000 years. I don't know, the Gaonim have such a minute. But the Bizman and Gemara, Lav Dafka, that minute existed. So if a person recites Birchat Torah and wants to learn, they should make sure to actually say the words of learning, not just to think and learning. That's what Mishnah Berurah suggested. But then in the sixth of the Maamar Kavos, Mishnah Berurah quotes that there are others who strongly disagree with the Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch. So in the sixth of the Maamar Kavos, Mishnah Berurah writes in the Sefer Be'alocha, Ayin v'bir ha'gra, demaksha al zeh, delo hiru b'tori gamke mitzvah. Says the Gra, how could it be that you don't recite a bracha on here on thinking and learning? Would anybody argue that thinking and learning is not a mitzvah? Would anybody have a dream of saying, a person sitting in the Beis Medrash and is thinking through a Taisa, not saying the Taisa, thinking through Taisa's kasha, what's the tariff of Taisa, thinking, maybe Taisa meant this, maybe Taisa meant that, maybe it's a raya from here, Marshall, maybe that. He's thinking through a sugya for an hour and a half, he doesn't open up his mouth. Would anybody say that's not Talmud Torah? Says the Grove, what are you talking about? Did a Sibia Giseva Yom Valayla? The very pasuk, one of the main pasuk in the Torah of Talmud Torah, Sefer Yeshua, Yagisa lahagos. Lahagos means to meditate, to concentrate, to think about. There's no mitzvah of v'dibarta b'divrei Torah. The mitzvah is to be lomei Torah. Yagisa is also considered to be an act of limud. So therefore, the halacha quotes from the Vilna Gaon that how can it be that you're not required to recite Birchat Torah? The yaitzi, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. How in the world can it be that you're not obligated to recite Birchat Torah? So therefore, the Gra disagrees with this entire psak of the Shulchan Aruch. Now we have a major machlekes. This is the machlekes. Machlekes is the mechaber against the Gra. He says, what's the din? Are you mechuyev to recite Birchat Torah if you're just thinking and learning, if you're not actually articulating the learning? What's the answer to the Gra's time? The Gra's time to the Gra's question against the Shulchan Aruch is a powerful one. Isn't it obvious that you yotzei Talmud Torah with just thinking? So it could be, based on what Reb Chaim said, that the mitzvah of Birchat Torah is not necessarily linked to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. It could be that Birchat Torah is linked more to the experience of Talmud Torah. Maybe one could argue that a very passive type of experience, I'm just sitting back and not actively doing it, I'm sitting back and thinking and concentrating, but yes, that's a formal mitzvah of Talmud Torah, but maybe that's not the experience that warrants a bracha. Maybe that's a different type of Talmud Torah. It's not the Talmud Torah of Dibur. Or maybe one could suggest that even if you hold that Hebrew is a full-fledged mitzvah of Talmud Torah, there may be a rule in Hilchos Brachos. We don't recite Brachos on Machshavos. Brachos are reserved for actions, they're reserved for actions, for words. They don't refer to one's Machshavos. It's like a Moshe Lamadav Adayna, there is a Beis Yosef in Hilchos Pesach that raises the question, how come we don't recite a Bracha before we do Bittul Chamit? We only recite a Bracha before we do Bir Chamit. What about Bracha and Bittul Chamit? Bittul, when the many of them, it's a mitzvah deraisa, according to Rashi and the Rambam, when you mevatel your chametz, that's mamash a mitzvah deraisa tashvisu. How come we don't recite a bracha? So the Beis Yosef says because the din is bittul sagi belev. You don't even have to articulate the kol chamir. As long as you're thinking belev, the chametz is bottle, it's bottle. You yotzei the mitzvah tashvisu. So the Beis Yosef says we don't find chazal mesachin brachas on a mitzvah shebelev. Person is thinking something, we don't make a bracha. You make a bracha before you do a maitzah, before you do a dibra or something. You don't make a bracha before you just think of something. So maybe the answer to the Gra's tying against the Shulchan Aruch is not that learning, the hero is not learning. Of course it's learning, but it's not a type of a learning that warrants a bracha. So a couple of getting back to this scenario over here, so this girl who wants to now read the notes at the bottom of her siddur, and for 2-3 minutes before davening, does that really require her to recite a Birchat Torah? So maybe one can argue, she's not publicly reading it, she's not articulating, she's not formulating the words in her mouth. She's just, her eyes are scanning the bottom of the Yotzkel Siddur. She's looking, ooh, a nice Pshat and Ashrei, a nice Shtickle Torah and Baruch Shem, a nice little insight on Shemun Hesrei or something. So she's thinking about Divrei Torah, but she's not saying the Divrei Torah. So she's like the case of the Mishnah Berurah, the Lomdim, the Iyim, B'toch HaSefer, were not being Motzik Tzas B'Peh. So maybe she's not being Motzik B'Peh, according to the view of the Shulchan Aruch, so she wouldn't technically be obligated to recite Birchat Torah. Even though according to the Gra, she would be Chayeves to recite Birchat Torah even for Hirur. Let's not forget, the Gra was the one who held that women aren't chayavos ever to recite Birchat Torah. So it comes out, the way the Shittas and the Poskim line up, if this young lady would come and approach either the Shulchan Aruch or the Vilna Gaon, am I obligated to recite Birchat Torah before I start to read my notes in the bottom of my siddur? So the Shulchan Aruch would answer, no, you're not obligated, because you're only reading, you're not talking. She would turn 300 years later to Vilna, 20 years later, come to Vilna and ask the Vilna Gaon the same question. So what do you think? So the girl would say, well, if your brother would ask me to shayla, the answer would be yes. But even though it's hearer is chayvim birchas haTorah. But since it's the girl who's asking the shayla, so women are never obligated to the Torah according to the girl. It's only rishus anyway. Technically speaking, the pturos from birchas haTorah. So it comes out that whether she asked of Yosef Karo in Tzfat or the girl in Vilna, at the end of the day, she got the same answer for two totally different reasons. The only problem is she asked neither the Shulchan Aruch nor the girl. I don't, in the slightest bit, want to put myself in the category of either one, but I'm the one who got the email, not the Shulchan Aruch nor the girl. So I didn't even speak to the girl. I got her father, I think, texted me, emailed me, whatever the formulation of the Shaila. Not a question. I'm sitting now in Bergenfield. Am I mechuyev to take the chumras of the Shulchan Aruch and the chumras of the girl? Namely, I'm going to be machmir like the Beis if women are chayavos and birchas haTorah, and turn around and be machmir like the girl that women that you have to be birchas haTorah and hear her. I don't know whether mechuyev. Yeah, the two shalos are not dependent. Zeba pashtas. I don't know whether mechuyev to start to combine chumras and start to mix the two together and say that you mechuyev take the chumras of both. Maybe. You're right. No, but if we would just read the psukim and not saying that, we'd probably not have to scream it. You have to say them. So you should articulate Yivarech Hashem Yishmerech. Yeah, you should say the psukim. Yeah, you really should. If not, you're running into a question. You're in Shulchan Aruch Gra territory. Oh, okay. That's a question. Is listening to a shir the same thing? Is listening to a shir as passive as ear mitach sefer, is it as to just think it through a svara? So that's a question. Some poskim argue that you're sitting in a shir, that's not literally shemek oina, but it's almost like al tzad shemek oina, that you're in a shir, so somehow the shir, that's his speaking, is everybody speaking together. Some kind of a halachic, quasi-halachic type of a concept. That's also a further question. So Kopadim, it seems to be that the pashas of Dvarim is that there wouldn't really be a chiyuv to recite Birchas haTorah here. Maybe we can make it a little bit better. No, you definitely yotze the bits of Talmud Torah. The question is that a type of a Talmud Torah that requires Birchas haTorah? Well, the person's immune, he's not going to be able to say Birchas haTorah anyway. So we can be a little bit catch 22 too. Right, okay, right. He's in the same, right. So there is one other factor that maybe goes into this discussion, another possible reason to exempt a person from Birchas haTorah. So the Shulchan Aruch, in the last of the Ma'amar Kavos, the very bottom piece, and Shulchan Aruch and Uchas Birchas HaShachar, and Sif Tess writes as follows, L'yikva psukim kodim Birchas haTorah, afa bishum omam derech tachanunim. A person shouldn't read psukim from the Chumash from Tanakh before he recites Birchas haTorah, even though he's not really learning the psukim, he's saying the psukim derech slichas, derech tachanunim, just davening the psukim, not learning the psukim. Rosh Hashanah writes, "Afa b'chein." If it's psukim, it's psukim, and they shouldn't be recited before Birchas haTorah. Yesh omim she'ein lachosh, and then the Shulchan refers to a second opinion that says, "Don't worry about it." Kevan she'einu omim ela derech tachanunim. He says, since the person is not learning the psukim, he's just saying the psukim, he's davening the psukim, that doesn't constitute an act of Talmud Torah. And the Shulchan Aruch says that the more correct thing to do is to follow the first view, to be machmir. But the Rambam writes, that at least in his communities, so the custom was not to be chayshish for this. So Rabbi Meir Aslichos, this Palim Aslichos, the Chagig with Brachim HaTorim say the Shah Brachis. So says the Rambam, therefore the minig was in Eastern Europe, and where he came from, that during Slichas, people would come to Shul, they would start saying Slichas. Nobody started with Birchas haTorah. They would say Slichas for a half hour. And after Slichas was over, they put the Talis and Tzorah, start making Brachas, and they would say the Bracha, Birchas haTorah at that point. What happened to the last? You said V'yav Hashem upon him, Yikra five times before. You said all the Psukim of the Slichas before him. But Ramah says nobody cared about that, because that wasn't done Derech Limud, it was done Derech Tfilah, Derech Tfilah L'chud, and Derech Limud L'chud. So I was wondering that maybe we could almost extend this cool a little bit. That maybe this is also relevant to the case of this young lady. That when she comes to shul 2-3 minutes before davening and she's reading to something to give her a little bit more kavana in Shema, a little more kavana in Ashri, a little bit more of a chapin baruch she'amar, there was pshat in that. Is pshat that she has a seder and hilchas tefillah? I'm learning perusha tefillah. I have a class of 45 minutes in all the details of the Takana Shema Nesrei and all the lumdos and all the Ashkafas. Is that the pshat? Well, the pshat is, she just, it's It's like sometimes, in the middle of davening, so a person using an article sitter, so their eyes will creep down to the bottom. Oh, that's a nice little pshetel. That'll give me a little more chizuk in my davening. During the davening, we're shedding the kippah. The chazim singing away. So I'm looking on the side to figure out what in the world that piyush just meant that I just said. So is that called Talmud Torah in the fullest sense of the word? Maybe one could argue that's not really Talmud Torah. What that really is tefillah. What you're really doing is davening. What you're doing is you're just trying to make your davening a little bit more effective. So you're learning the biyuri tefillah just to make your davening a little bit more. But to call that a formal act of Talmud Torah, I don't know, maybe one could argue this. So I was thinking maybe there's another sniflah hakel, is that what the Ramah is writing, that the Ramah says that any time you're davening the words of the Pesukim rather than learning the words of the Pesukim, that doesn't really constitute an act of Talmud Torah, but maybe that would be another sniff lachal as well. Yeah, I'm not sure about that. I wouldn't say the Petorah is Vaday, but I'm saying since we seem to be pointing in the direction that this girl probably doesn't have to recite the Torah, either because women are Pesukim Tagami like the Gra, or because this is hero like the Shulchan Aruch, combined with the fact that according to the Ramah, this may be very well called Derech Tefillah, but could be we can add another great Pesach to the list. So if she asked the Shulchan Aruch, do I have to say Birchat Torah? The answer is no, because it's a hero. If she asked the Ramah, do I have to say Birchat Torah? The answer is no, because it's Derech Tefillah. If she asked the Gra, do I have to say Birchat Torah? Say no, because women are Pturas altogether. Now you have the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah, and the Gra. It's hard to get three of the greatest pillars of Pesach Halacha in the last 800 years. And they're all pointing in the direction to the same way for different reasons. Each one doesn't necessarily agree to the other one. They're all possibly in the same in that scenario. They get all three say the same thing. Unless one wants to argue that maybe we have to take or pick and choose the chumash of all of them. So what I responded to this girl was as follows. I responded to the father to the girl was that although one could argue, Ikra din, you're about to Torah, you're going to say Ikra anyway in 5 minutes. What's the big deal? It's just a question of saying now, saying 5 minutes later. So if you have 2 seconds, say Birchat Torah. But you have to lose. You have nothing to lose ever by saying Birchat Torah first thing in the morning. So I said, Matov, yes, Tov, we say Birchat Torah. But if you want to know what the din is that the Nikar din is, Bein Lefi Mechah, Bein Lefi Ramah, Bein Lefi Agra, she's probably Keturah. This is the last akuda that the Ramah raises about the two opinions in Shulchan Aruch. If a person is almost davening something rather than learning something, so that's not really an act of Talmud Torah. That may be part of the answer to the riddle, a very famous, almost like a real question, a big tella that the Poskim asked on a sugi a little bit in Yom Yom, about to enter the Chodesh Adar in a couple of days. So there's a famous question that's asked about a Gemara beginning of Maseches Megillah. The Gemara says, Mevatlin Talmud Torah l'shmok mikra Megillah. If a person's in the middle of learning, a sugi about the Basra and Tafyomi, and it comes down to the other Megillah, you close your Gemara, and you go to shul, and you go and list the Kriyas of Megillah. And the Gemara says, that's a chiddush, mevatlin Talmud Torah, a pitim Torah, it's not so poshut that you mevatlin Torah for things, mevatlin Talmud Torah, mevatlin Kriyas of Megillah. So the Gemara asks Kasha, what do you mean mevatlin Talmud Torah? Why is that a pitim Torah? Reading Megillah Esther is also kisvei kodesh. If I sit and I learn Megillah Esther, I'm also yotzei mitzvah Talmud Torah. What's the difference when I learn a tafyom in Baba Basra, a sugi in Yevamos, a mishnah in Zvachim, a simon in Shulchan Aruch, or a psukim in Kisvei Kodesh, in Tanakh, a Megillah Esther, so it's the vice of Talmud Torah. So what do you mean, what's the lashon of mevatlin Talmud Torah? So some achronim give this answer. Some achronim say that, if you would sit down on a Wednesday night, and 2 weeks before Purim, and say, I'm going to learn Megillah Esther tonight. So you start by Hebe Mechashverosh. Ooh, what does Vayhi mean? Look at the Gemara Megillah, Rosh to this, Yom to this. Who Achashverosh? Who we were told to, where was Kush? You start to learn the Sugya, Rangit, and all the London of Kriyas Megillah. That's a Gevalik with a Talmud Torah. That's no different than learning Chumash, learning Navi, learning other Ksuvim, learning Mishnah Berurah, learning Rashi. That's part of Talmud Torah. Kisvei Kodesh. Tanakh is also part of Talmud Torah. So that would be Talmud Torah. But that's not what you're doing on Purim night. On Purim night, that's not your goal. Your goal on Purim night is to be yaitz in the mitzvah of Kriyas Megillah. It's true you're being yaitz in the mitzvah through the vehicle of reading Sukkah of Kisvei Kodesh, but this is not a learning. Kriyas Megillah is not a learning experience. Kriyas Megillah is a mitzvah experience. So the same way that the Ramah says that slichos is not a learning. The guy comes to slichos at 4:30 in the morning. He's coming to learn Parshas Kisisa of Vayav Hashem upon a vehicle. No, when it comes to Parshas Kisisa, he's Bava Sedrin. He reads the Rashi and the Ramban's the Kisisa. That's when he learns the Vayav Hashem upon him. When he comes to shul and he says one Vayav and one Efsir, he's davening Vayav. He's not learning Vayav. So maybe that's the same idea you could say about Kriyas Megillah as well. So I'll go part of getting back to that story. So a few of the different issues of Birchat Torah all converge together on the Shaila, the issue of women's obligation, perhaps lack thereof, the recitation of Birchat Torah on Hiru, Machlek Yisra Falski about that, the issue of the recitation of Birchat Torah on things which are not Derech Lima, but Derech Mitzvah, Derech Tfil, etc., but those are also subsumed under Birchat Torah. Right, so that would also support the Ramah. Right, so I think the defense of that would be also that the goal of reading that those psukim is not because I'm learning Parshas Bo right now. It's not the Parshas Shavua. I'm doing it because it's almost like an Indian of tefillin. Like I'm putting on tefillin. Can I put on tefillin? I would say the psukim that are inside the tefillin. So it's almost like a saying of Shema, like an extension of that type of a mitzvah. So I think that would be the background, that would be the basis for those who recite the story after they put on tefillin, after they took him. There are many people who dafka do it the other way for that reason. There are many people, the first thing they do when they walk to the shul, they dafka do say Birchat Torah. They don't put the talis on, they make sure to say Birchat Torah first. We have the advantage, those who come to Kolo Boker, so on Shiloh, then you're for sure to say, for sure you have to say Birchat Torah, it's good plus for Kolo Boker, unless the people are listening to Kolo Boker. If you argue that they're not chayav, but we assume Bakshem are such wonderful Tamidim, they always ask questions in the middle also. But they, I guess they would also have to recite, unless you can listen on the phone, maybe that's a whole different story. I don't know, then you have to, a lot of love this and that. The bottom line is that this particular Shaila had a few different interesting Slat of Mahakel, but they didn't close that. There's nothing to lose. So, Matar, Miyostov, you said there was a term before. Okay.
Is that different than here?
No, the Lashim is not senior, but it's Mamish Lashim, it's not there. But is that just here, or maybe that's just here?